Really excited to welcome our next guest, who we're going to have for quite a while, because I realized that his book is 34 chapters.
Oh,
I think
wow.
We talked about Carlo. Good
yeah,
morning,
that's
Carlo
right.
Broussard.
You're stuck with me, guys.
Bring it on.
I love it. Well, we're on chapter 11 today of Carlo Broussard's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. So if you have Carlo's book, let's open it up to chapter 11. I feel like I'm a teacher. Open your book. Carlo, you're going to tell us all about it today. Take it away.
Yeah. Well, actually, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's chapter 11 or chapter 12.
I think it's 12. Yeah.
I think it's chapter 12.
Really?
Yeah. So teacher, I think, teacher, you need to open to the next chapter.
To the corner.
Teacher needs more coffee.
Yeah,
okay.
Amen to that. I know all about that. Yeah, I think we're actually on chapter 12. And in chapter 12, what we're dealing with is we're trying to help folks who face an obstacle. To where when they look out at smart people in the world, scientists and philosophers, they realize that many of them embrace atheism and deny belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they conclude from that, well, if all the smart people I know in my life are not theists and reject belief in God,
yeah.
Well, then I guess the smart thing to do and the reasonable thing to do is to reject God and embrace atheism. So the obstacle is, how can I believe in God when so many reasonable people don't believe in God, right?
Right.
So, yeah. For example, they might come across a stat like 93% of scientists, 93% of the members of the National Academy of Sciences reject God.
Hmm.
Or they might come across one study that found that 73% of professional philosophers are atheists. And so because so many reasonable people don't believe in God, they think in order to be intellectually credible that they need to embrace atheism, like these smart people do, right? And then, of course, this happens all the time. You know, Catholic Sally leaves home, goes off to university. Her
yeah.
professor has a PhD. He's a lot smarter than mom and dad and grandma and grandpa,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, if I'm going to be a smart person, I need to, you know, do what the smart people do. Well, here's one strategy that we could employ to try to help somebody
all right.
with this obstacle. Just because somebody is smart in one area of expertise doesn't make him competent when it comes to the question of God's existence. So, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
yesterday I just went to the mechanic shop to bring my car.
Yes.
Now, Jeff and Gabby, would you trust mm-hmm. my mechanic's views on politics because he's a good mechanic?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I like the buzzer, man. Very good.
Yeah, no matter how much he knows about engines and cars, that doesn't make him competent to pontificate on questions concerning politics, right?
Right, right.
Well, the same principle applies to natural scientists and philosophers who are actually not trained in the philosophy of religion, which deals with the question of God's existence. You know, so concerning scientists, no amount of scientific training is going to equip a scientist to pursue the philosophical inquiry of God's existence. You know, because God is immaterial, he's beyond the boundaries of physical
right.
reality. And
right.
science only deals with things within the physical universe, right? And the scientific mm-hmm. method. So if you shouldn't trust a mechanic's views on politics just because he knows cars,
yes.
well, then you shouldn't trust a scientist's views about God just because he knows chemistry. Do you see that? Does that
I
make
know.
Sense?
Yeah.
So, and then also, too, guys, this even applies to philosophers in general who are not trained in the philosophy of religion.
Yeah.
So, for example, you might have a philosopher who studies what is called a philosophy of mind or a philosophy of science or philosophy of history, these various branches of philosophy, right? But just because they're a philosopher and an expert in one of those disciplines of philosophy, it doesn't make them competent to pontificate on the question of God's existence. That would be like saying, well, you know, just because somebody's an expert in biology, well, then they're a competent authority when it comes to astrophysics.
Yeah,
they're both
yeah.
scientists, but they're in two separate disciplines of thought.
Yes,
right?
yes.
So, for example, there's an American philosopher named Daniel Dennett. He's a philosopher of mind. Smart dude. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the question of God's existence, he totally misses the boat. He misunderstands the traditional arguments for God's existence, saying that, well, since everything must have a cause, well, then who caused God? But that's just a gross misunderstanding of the traditional argument for God's existence, because we don't start off with the premise everything must have a cause. We just simply start with things that are caused, you see?
Gotcha.
So the bottom line is that just because you're competent in one area of expertise, it doesn't make you competent when it comes to the question of God's existence. And we see this all the time, right, with Hollywood stars?
Absolutely.
You know, just because somebody's like super, super famous, like everything that they say all of a sudden has weight when it comes to politics and on how the world should be governed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be like saying, oh, because Carlo Broussard is such a great accordion player, well, then I'm going to trust what he says about politics. God's existence. Of course not. Just because I can play the cajon or the accordion, that squeeze box, man, that doesn't make me competent to say things regarding God and other things.
But now,
be a philosopher for that.
Carlo's mechanic, on the other hand. Just kidding.
Yeah, so that's strategy one. Now, I know we're running out of time here, but think about this, guys.
Okay.
Strategy two, we need to actually put the stats in perspective.
Okay.
So I started off with this National Academy of Sciences where it said like 93% of the members are atheists, right? Well, that academy only represents a small number of scientists, only 2,000 members.
Oh,
there are more than 2 million scientists employed in the United States.
Wow.
So to get a better perspective, we have to look at the 2009 study by the Pew Research Center.
Yeah.
And that found that 51% of scientists actually believe that God or some higher power exists.
Wow.
And 41% reject the concepts of God or a higher power. So if our friend is going to base his or her belief in God on what smart people say and what reasonable people say, well then, with regard to natural scientists, the majority acknowledge God's existence. And even when we're talking about philosophers of religion, those guys and those women who actually study the arguments for God's existence, 72% of the philosophers of religion acknowledge God's existence.
My.
So, you know, for our listeners out there who are struggling with this obstacle, one thing that they can know is that they need not fear that belief in God puts him or her in an anti-intellectual crowd.
Mm.
And I think that's the fear, guys. So many
people,
they don't want to embrace belief in God because they don't want to be associated with anti-intellectualism. Oh, you just believe that pie in the sky type stuff, you know?
Wow.
But no, I mean, the belief in theism, you're in good company when you embrace theism concerning smart people. And this is brings me to strategy three in the book, guys.
All right.
I give a long list of both laity and clergy of very smart people who acknowledge God's existence. So consider, for example, Nicholas Copernicus, the father of the heliocentric theory of the solar system. He acknowledged the supremely good and orderly creator. And it was actually a canon. He worked for the bishop. Max Planck, originator of the quantum theory, acknowledged religion to be the link that binds man to God. Albert Einstein, Hermann Weyl, one of the great mathematicians of the 20th century, both acknowledged a superior mind of some sort and God. And then Catholic clergy, think about this, guys. I mean, I have a whole list here, but here's just three examples. Roger Bacon, a 13th century English Franciscan monk, his writings laid the groundwork for the scientific method itself. Gregor Mendel, 19th century Augustinian monk and priest, founder of genetics. And finally, Georges Lemaître, from 1894 to 1966. He's director of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, one of the two originators of the Big Bang Theory. Belgian priest, the father of the Big Bang Theory.
Carlo, where can we get the book? We're out of time.
Oh, they can get the book at shop.catholic.com and get the whole list of all these smart people who believe in God.
And we'll have a test at 10 o'clock this
list.
Morning. Okay. God bless you, Carlo.
Thanks,
Thank you
Carlo.
For being with
God
us.
God bless you guys. Thanks for having
me. My friend, wow.